Ah, yeah, you know what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we're lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren. And now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope, sir.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with Sam, the animal steel producing, and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. How's everything over there at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, Shelley?
Both places are going great. Very, very busy. I think we're all getting geared up for fall at Nevermore. I'm selling lots of candles, spell kits. Everybody's getting them in the mood,
yeah,
which is great.
Always on the lookout for some good mojo and Nevermore Mystical Arts, Shelley's Paranormal Boutique. That's the place to get it. 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, just a couple of miles off of 40, out Sweeten Creek there, across the street from Retrolube and right next to Wright's Coin Shop, the family business there. Are most of the regular customers now privy to the information that North Carolina is no longer selling or no longer collecting sales tax?
I hope so. I try to tell them every chance I have, and they're ecstatic.
That's awesome, because that's 7% right off the top that they don't have to worry about. You guys don't have to worry about doing all the paperwork and keeping track of 7% on everything.
Exactly.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
The sales tax exemption applies to precious metals, collectible coins,
currency,
practically everything that Wright's Coin Shop specializes in.
Exactly. It's fabulous. I did happen to notice when I popped over there a couple of days ago, there was a big bag of, I think it was like 5,000 wheat pennies. People love those.
Oh yeah.
I think it probably won't be there on Monday afternoon after this airs. Yeah, people love the big bags of wheat pennies. But we've also got some 10-ounce bars of silver. I can't even remember what else. There's so much that they've stuffed into those showcases.
Are you familiar with this Keepers of the Copper thing that your colleague Greg Capps is involved in? I follow Greg Capps. He's one of the good guys over at Wright's Coin Shop. I watch him on Facebook, and he's always posting some interesting stuff on there. I mean, because he's deep into it.
He is very deep into it. Copper, it's his favorite. It's his love. And he also writes articles for the... Which journal is it? The NCNA Journal?
Right. The Numismatic Association, North Carolina Numismatic Association. Did I just fumble that one? I think I got it pretty close. Numismatics is the collecting of coins and money.
Yes.
Yeah. Greg's a good guy. Of course, your mom and dad are generally over there. And you can't go to one without the other. Nevermore and Wright's Coin Shop. It's a double whammy at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. So get some good luck stuff out of Nevermore. And I mean, you post pictures. Nevermore's got a Facebook page. You always post pictures of your new inventory.
Oh, yeah.
And you got some pretty cool stuff.
Thank you.
Coming in there from time to time. And everybody needs to go by there and check out Nevermore when you're in Asheville. A lot of our listeners are based right here in Asheville, listening to us on 570. So there's no excuse for them to not swing by 1271 Sweet Creek Road, Nevermore Mystical Arts, and Wright's Coin Shop. But people who are listening online and have a vacation planned to Asheville, make sure to give yourself an afternoon to get down to visit Shelley and the family and see what they do in person. It's just a good feeling to go in there. Shelley, you were looking over this article and said kind of creepy. I think listeners will agree. You ready with the bell over there?
I'm ready.
Because this is in early August in Volusia County, Florida. Beach safety officers banished 73-year-old who shall remain nameless from Daytona Beach, from all county beaches, after it was discovered he was handing out business cards to young women reading "Sugar Daddy seeking his sugar baby." The mother of a 16-year-old said he approached a group of girls with his cards and continued to speak with a minor girl even after she told him her age. He also produced a bra padding, telling the girls he was looking for someone who would fill it. He told the 16-year-old she would be perfect.
Maybe she would have been.
Ew.
Who knows? I don't
know.
I at the bequest or behest of a 73-year-old beach
geezer.
Creep.
I, yeah, he was willing to pay. I like that.
Yeah, maybe he was just looking out for her best interest. No, yeah. I think.
Oh, I'm sure that was
I think
it.
Not. Sugar Daddy.
What
got
should
busted.
You like better as a candy, Sugar Daddy or Sugar Baby?
Sugar Daddy was the
pop.
clump on the stick. Yeah. I couldn't deal with that. Sugar Baby.
I liked Sugar Daddy.
Sugar Daddy took some persistence.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't like
that. Sugar Baby I liked all right. Sugar Babies are kind of like, man, here goes that brain thing again. I couldn't remember Negative Land. Now I can't remember the other candies that are kind of like Sugar Babies.
Skittles?
Good Lord. I'm supposed to know candy.
Good Lord.
I'm supposed to know my candies better than that.
Talking about Florida, I see an article here that kind of summarizes a lot of Florida stories into one story, which is why the article asks a expert in Florida-ology, why is Florida America's class clown? And it says it seems like every day there's almost another impossibly bizarre news story set in a certain Gulf Coast state, like the man who claimed he was seduced by a dolphin. Where was he from?
Florida.
That's right. Or the guy who vaped his buddy's semen? Florida. Or the patriot who landed a gyrocopter on the Capitol lawn to protest money and politics? Floridian. Okay, so why is Florida producing so many odd people? The guy goes on to state, and he is a award-winning writer for the Tampa Bay Times, who has a new book coming out called Oh, Florida, How America's Weirdest State Influences the Rest of the Country, in stores now. You can actually get it. He says that it's the third most populous state, 20 million people, 100 million annual visitors, all crammed into a narrow peninsula where we ram our cars into each other and yell at each other in a dozen different languages. You know, that makes sense. So he's like, man, there's so many stories in Florida. You have like a favorite one. And he's like, well, there was the one about the guy in Gainesville who was fighting with his girlfriend and grabbed a 3-foot alligator out of his bathtub to swing around as a weapon. Or the one about the wannabe mermaid who got in hot water with her homeowners association for wearing her costume in the community pool because it violated the no fins policy. Or the one about the lady who was driving to a date in the Florida Keys and asked her ex-husband, who happened to be riding with her in the car to her date, to take the wheel while she grabbed a razor out of her purse to shave her lady area. That did not end up well. And then they have, like, this is where you get into the dark stuff, you know, like the really criminal stuff. And he's like, what's your favorite, like, crazy, you know, bad story? And he's like, have you ever heard of Carl Tanzler? Carl Tanzler, Count Carl von Kassel. He was a Key West X-ray technician who in 1930 fell in love with a tuberculosis patient named Maria Elena Malangrado de Hoyas. I think I pronounced that wrong. But his love transcended death, by which I mean that when she died, he dug up her body and slept with the corpse for 9 years until her sister found out. When he was put on trial for grave robbing, he was exonerated, not because he was innocent, but because the statute of limitations had expired. Think about that, the heat, the humidity, 9 years.
Oh,
that's
and it was even
good.
Worse than what you read.
Yeah.
I thought it was Key West, Florida. Yeah. Yeah. And
so you're familiar with the case.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Joshua was talking about it one night when we were doing a show, and he was presenting it as a love story.
I can see that. I mean, no. It takes, yes.
Oh, it, no.
Yeah, it takes love to dig up, first of all, to dig up a body. That's not an easy thing to do. Second of all, you've got a whole slew, a litany of live human women, and you love this dead one more than all of them. You love, your love is so strong, you're going to put up with the stench. You're going to put up with the decomposition. I mean, all sorts of things.
Don't
I think
forget the maggots.
The maggots? Yes, Shelley, the maggots.
Yes.
That's
ew,
love.
Ew. He was a really, really, really old guy. She was this, like, 19 years old.
Well, it, she was dead.
Well, before that, when he fell in love with her to begin with. Yeah, and she didn't live a whole lot longer.
But
it was not love.
Vance,
it was
you see the love story there?
It was dun, not.
I see the twisted love story. I see the twisted love story. But at the point she passed, did he have sort of a natural love of the dead, like Cold Ethel? We were talking about Alice Cooper a little earlier. That would have been a appropriate bumper at the top of this one. But yeah, maybe something broke in his brain when he lost his...
If it was only 6 months that he was with the dead body, yeah, it's gross. 9 years, that's true love.
That, ew.
Oh, my goodness.
On that Alice Cooper tip, I heard an interview with him the other day, and they were asking, like, where, you know, Alice came from, you know, and he was like, I was trying to think of a name that would, like, kind of personify, like, Betty Crocker. That would be like the old lady in your neighborhood who seemed really sweet but had a bunch of bodies buried underneath her house. And he's like, Alice Cooper just immediately popped into my head. It's like it kind of had that ring, like Betty Crocker, Alice Cooper, the lady with the bodies. And that's how it happened.
Never really thought about it. There probably is a sweet little old lady named Alice Cooper out there somewhere.
And there's a sweet little 70-something-year-old man. Named Alice, or well, Vince Fernier, but he's a sweet man, Alice. Yeah.
Good stuff. This is The Dark 30 on Speaking of Strange. We'll be right back. Speaking of Strange.
He made my baby fall in love with me, Vance.
He made your baby fall in love with you. And what if your baby died? Would you dig her up and keep her around for 9 years?
Not eight, not ten.
A criminal justice student in Columbia, South Carolina, has her car's manual transmission to thank for her safe escape. Three men approached her around 1 a.m. and pointed a gun at her. After robbing her of her phone and purse, the men forced her into her car, threatening to kidnap and rape her. But when they realized none of them knew how to drive a stick shift, one of the criminals ran away. The other two forced her to drive to an ATM to withdraw cash. As she drove, she removed her seatbelt, then put the car in neutral and jumped out screaming, "Call 911 to passing motorists. The Richland County Sheriff's Department arrested a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old in the kidnapping and robbery. That's pretty legit. I'd seen the meme going around Facebook. This is my auto theft, you know, prevention device, and it's just the standard transmission, the gear shift. Do you think that's true? A lot of youngsters, a lot of millennials don't know how to drive the old standard.
There's not a lot of sticks made anymore.
I don't know how to drive one.
Really?
Yeah.
I've owned one non-stick car, one automatic, my whole life.
I was well along in my 20s before I learned how to properly drive a stick. I guess I would have always been able to have got one in gear and made it roll, you know, in a pinch. But as far as actually taking it on the road and learning to drive one, I did that on the Autobahn in Germany. Yeah,
no.
We flew to Dusseldorf, and I barely knew how to drive a stick, but we got in a Mercedes-Benz, and I learned to drive a stick shift on the Autobahn. It was kind of scary. It was scary.
Well,
what a great story.
When I was driving on there, we had a, you know, it was like a Vauxhall or something, you know, the equivalent of like a Honda Accord or a Toyota Camry, something like that. And, you know, kilometer, I'm trying to think how many kilometers an hour. We were doing like 115 miles per hour, which is pushing that car about as hard as it's going to go. You know, we were just like, let's do it. And it's snowing, but it's not sticking. But it's like, you know, coming at the, you know, like, and then you just see like past you, like 170 miles an hour, just like, boom.
Oh, it's no joke.
And that's why they have the great initiative, which is drive right. You always stay in the right lane unless you're passing, because somebody can come flying up on you at 170 miles an hour.
Yeah, if you look in that side view mirror and you see headlights in that left lane, don't get over, because you don't know how fast they're coming up on you, and they will sail by. Yeah, there's no exaggeration in that. We were driving this little silver Mercedes, and we got stuck in traffic. Don't know if I still told the story on the show, but I sat in traffic for like 2 hours, almost running out of gas. And when we got up to the point where they were actually scooping the guy out of the car with a spoon, basically. No, they had a crane, and they were lifting this wreckage, this pile of debris that you just recognize enough to realize it had once been the exact same model color car that I was driving in. And I, at that moment, I felt like could have been me. But yeah, when you get in an accident going 150 miles an hour,
your chances are slim.
Yeah. Rough stuff.
Well, do you wear, I know Shelly likes to rock some jewelry from time to time. You know, Vance, he's got a wedding band on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I got some bracelets and stuff. But a couple of months ago, there was a New York art gallery. And in this art gallery, they had a strange wooden box. And it was propped open, and it was full of colorful vials. Okay? So you go into the art gallery, and what's this strange box? Above the vials, the gold-plated lid scrawled with text and a picture of the human digestive system. It's called the Ripley. Okay? And it was created by designer Nicholas Gregory. The kit has everything you need to make intimately personalized jewelry with your butt. No, this is I'm not making this up, okay? And it's probably not cheap either. The vials, instructions on the case, and notes accompanying the exhibit explain, contain edible abrasive coloring and polishing materials, as well as a ring encrusted with gems. Potential users eat the materials as a meal. And the idea is that once the ring hits the user's stomach, the abrasives as well as the stomach acids and corrosives from other things consumed will wear away the ring, exposing the jewels beneath. Moving on to the small intestine, abrasive materials like polish the ring. And then as the ring moves along with the other stuff going through your intestines, you know, the hardened stuff that's in your intestines compacts around and colors the gems. Finally, you guessed it, you got a fish. for that puppy.
Jeez.
Which will take on different properties depending on your metabolism, diet, and other factors. So then, I mean, they're all different. And then you bam, you crap out a lovely jewel-encrusted ring.
I don't want your butt jewelry.
You don't want my butt ring, Shelly?
I want your butt ring.
Jeez.
Well, it was named after a stomach and butt-eating alien from Stephen King's 2001 novel Dreamcatcher, the Ripley was.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
They're pretty rings.
Yeah, you got some pictures there?
Yeah, I was going to see if I could see how much this bad boy cost here. It's being a little stubborn here. There we go. So it's a not insignificant sized ring, with like some rubies and emeralds and stuff that probably looks like it wouldn't feel great.
Oh,
I'm sure it doesn't.
Yeah,
but it says, is pooping out bespoke jewelry the future of luxury?
No. let me just say no.
Okay. Well, it's just posing a question.
Residents of Hollis, Maine, were unnerved on the evening of July 25th as a 31-year-old man wearing a clown mask walked around town with a machete duct-taped to the place where his arm had been amputated. That's just up in the ante on the weird clown a little bit. The fact that you have a stump and you just duct-taped the machete on there and walked around. When the intoxicated man was taken into custody in nearby Waterboro, he explained to officers he was copying other clown sightings as a prank on a friend. A neighbor there in Hollis said, he's not funny. We live in the woods. You think we don't have guns? He's, well, lucky.
Yeah.
I have to throw out a clown sighting now and then. There's a whole lot of that. Have you seen the trailer for the new It?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to that. Not out yet, is it?
No.
When's it coming out?
Got to be in the. Have you seen the original It, Shelly?
Yeah.
The original It was
so scary.
That was a TV miniseries.
Correct?
Yeah.
There were some pretty good miniseries back in the day. I remember seeing Salem's Lot as a miniseries. I remember watching The Stand as a miniseries.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, I don't remember seeing It during broadcast. Was it on one of the cable channels or something?
No, it was on. It was on one of the big three.
Fascinating stuff. Anyway, Stephen King's It is going to bring the creepy back to clowns, going to raise the bar for all the weird clowns.
What did
out
you
there.
Ever think of, Stephen King was not happy with The Shining, with Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
I've heard that.
And so there was another Shining starring the dude from Wings, one of the two brothers from Wings.
Okay.
And that was the officially like Stephen King sanctioned version of The Shining. It's interesting in its own right. It's a lot different than the Kubrick version, but it was more to the book.
Never seen that.
Yeah.
Never seen that. I guess it's floating
Stephen
around.
Stephen Weber. That was the guy's
name. Did that one run as a miniseries, or was that just
I think it was a TV movie, yeah.
Yeah. Got to go back and brush up on all that stuff. Stephen King, the man. This is a... Speaking of strange, it's a dark 30 hour. We're playing it light, but be warned, it could get dark.
Butt jewelry.
We'll be right back.
Shows. when I had you there, but then I let you go. And now it's only fair that I should let you know what you should know.
Can't live if living is without you.
Oh, is that what he said? I thought he said living was without lube.
Oh, well.
I've been misunderstanding that for 41 years now.
Oh, goodness.
It's the dark 30 hour.
It's the dark 30 hour. So if you have impressionable youths, or if you are offended by the seedy sort of stuff that goes on in the world, turn a blind eye or a blind ear, a hushed ear, I guess, a deaf ear to these pleas for help. Really, I think I kind of see it in a way of better them than me sort of thing. Is that so bad? No, I think in a lot of ways it's escape from. Yeah, we think we've got it bad till we hear about the guy who had his junk cut off, you know.
Oh, we think you got it bad till you hear about all the folks in Houston.
Oh, that's right. God bless them out there in Houston and surrounding areas. Man, it's getting nasty down in Louisiana again.
I mean, count your blessings is basically. Right.
Yeah, that's a good message. What was the first message for this show? That you're an insignificant speck of dust.
That was it.
And then count your blessings.
And then count your blessings, you insignificant speck of dust, you. A country and western radio station in Benson, Arizona, near Tucson, has periodically run public service announcements about one of the owner's pet peeves, the harsh sentences usually given to mere collectors of child pornography. Many, he believes, are non-dangerous daydreaming hermits, but often imprisoned for long stretches. Thus, his PSAs publicize tips for avoiding the police, such as saving child porn only on an external computer drive and hiding the drive securely. Despite recent community outrage causing him to retire the PSAs, he remains defiant that since he personally avoids child porn, he is merely exercising a free speech right.
I'm confused. I only caught like half of that.
I think in...
I heard an external hard drive.
I think in a nutshell, this guy is running public service announcements telling people how not to get caught for kiddie porn.
Yeah, that's basically it.
On a country and western station.
Weird.
And those guys are such fine, upstanding sorts. No, I don't know that there's any one genre that's more prone towards child abuse than another. But it would seem to me that there are a lot of country and western fans of both kinds of music, country and western.
That was Blues Brothers.
That would probably take the guy to task, and if they thought that there was a guy in the neighborhood collecting kiddie porn, that he might get Louisville Slugger upside.
What was the name of the band in the Blues Brothers? The Good Old Blues Brothers Boys.
And just the Good Old Boys, and they called themselves the Good Old Blues
Brothers Boys. Hey, here's to answer to your question from earlier. September 9th is when It comes out, and if you want to go to where the clowns are, you go to a theater in Austin, Texas, where they're hosting a screening of It for clowns only, or for people dressed up like one. It's a clown-centric screening, including face painters for last-minute touch-ups, a photo booth, raffles, and other terrifying merriment. according to the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema's website, because Pennywise, not the band, but the clown in it, they might have thought that it would be foolish not to appeal to its more fun-loving and sinister clown-like patrons. Apparently, another Alamo Drafthouse earlier in the summer hosted a screening of Wonder Woman for women only, so it's like they're kind of poking fun at that as well. But then somebody asked, what would will mimes boycott? I don't know.
next Friday night's the open then, huh?
Next Saturday, I think.
Very cool.
Yeah, next Saturday night.
Get ready for it. Did you hear about all the weird stuff, the sonic attacks on the embassy in the U.S. embassy in Cuba? Did you hear anything about that? Maybe
they
I should
have speakers
pull up.
Big enough to.
I don't
they're
know.
They're all driving 1957 Volkswagens.
I don't know if it was some sort of subsonic device or what. I don't know the logistics between what was going on, but people at the embassy were experiencing nausea and dizziness and things like this, and it was discovered that there were like subsonic or ultrasonic signals that were being, bombarding the embassy. It was, strange stuff. But this strange story kind of, I thought, pigeon-tailed. Is that the right word?
I don't think, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, pigeon-tailed. dovetailed with dovetailed with the
Hello.
Havana with the Havana Cuban attacks. It is legal in China to sell electric quote unquote building shakers whose primary purpose apparently is to wreak aural havoc, not oral but aural havoc on apartment dwellers, unreasonably noisy neighbors. Models sell for the equivalent of $11 to $58 each, with a long pole to rest on the floor, extending ceiling height to an electric motor braced against the shared ceiling or wall.
So it's just an exciter.
Are you following this?
It's an exciter, then.
And whose only function is to produce a continuous thumping beat. Shanghaiist.com found one avenger in Shaanxi province who, frustrated by his miscreant neighbor, turned on his shaker and then departed for the weekend. It was unclear whether he faced legal or other repercussions.
I think it's that would be like a transducer or an exciter, which is basically a speaker without a. It's just like the motor part of a speaker, and it can turn any flat surface, like a window or a wall, and use the vibrations, turning the. Your music or whatever into a vibration that then resonates through the wall or the table or whatever you're using. They use it for a variety of things. You can use them in like spas, like hot tubs, and where you can't put a speaker. So that's a pretty good idea, actually. Yeah.
I'm going to find out about this, the Cuba sonic attacks. I kind of just brushed that one off. That's been in the national news here the last several days. But a friend of mine who went to sound school, went to Full Sail down in Orlando, big recording art school down there. He was telling me about a lecture that they heard about the U.S. military experimenting with sonic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point they had developed a sound wave that would practically cause any man to lose his
control of his bowels.
Yes, exactly. That's it. I was thinking of a discreet way.
Well, that is a discreet way.
Yeah,
I
mean. Would cause any man to lose control of his any woman for that matter would cause maybe animals to lose control of their bowels, but a sound wave that could do that, wouldn't that be a horrible thing for your metal band to put on their album? But here's the thing about the bowel unleashing sound wave is people were testing it under the impression that it affected the ear. you know. But the sound wave had a physical effect so that people testing the sound wave weapon wearing headphones were not immune to it. I mean, the sound wave disrupted their guts, and they were running, or you know, making a mess out there on the testing grounds, even when they're wearing their headphones. Because so basically, what I'm trying to say is, just because it's a sonic weapon,
I think
there's no protection.
The Mythbuster, the Mythbusters. I think they did an episode on that, and I want to say they disproved it. But I mean, as far as a military grade,
right?
But they had a pretty big setup. It was pretty severe, and they were trying to find that certain. I remember that South Park episode that dealt with that.
Sure. Well, sonic weaponry does exist.
Yeah.
And
sure,
it's in the news. And sometimes you can just use it to get back at your noisy neighbors. It's Speaking of Strange. Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange. I'm Vance Pollock in the studio with Sam and Shelley, and we'll be right back.
Park. That's right.
I've been to Coney Island, but never to Palisades Park. Yeah. The Ramones. We love the Ramones.
The Ram Ones.
Just like the Beatles of my generation. Oh, yeah, I mentioned the Cuban thing, and since you hadn't heard about it, I had to pull the official report. This is from a week or so back. I'll just make it quick. CNN, because it is bizarre. I mean, just because it's mainstream, you know, like headline news, it's still pretty strange stuff. It has elements of the paranormal about it. The mysterious sonic attack on U.S. diplomats stationed in Cuba is raising questions about weapons that sound more like something out of James Bond than reality. The U.S. believes sophisticated devices that operated outside the range of audible sound were deployed either inside or outside diplomats' residences in Havana, injuring at least 16 Americans, several senior State Department officials have told CNN. The attacks, which began in November and ended this spring, left some with mild traumatic brain injury, two might have permanent hearing loss, and the invisible assaults may be continuing against other targets, with Canadian diplomats and their family members reporting similar symptoms in June. Experts say the question isn't just what kind of weapon might have been used, but whether the damage was caused by a weapon at all. So that's a point to ponder.
I think people get the same effects from coming to one of my shows.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey.
They do it to themselves.
You know, technology, the goal of technology is to, I guess, make people's lives simpler and more productive. Unless, like, you're one of these people that has to have, like, the newest gadgets, you know? Like, you got to have the newest phone or this or that. Well, in that case, the goal of technology is to perform simple tasks in needlessly complicated, gratuitously interconnected ways. Meet Vance and Shelley. Meet Smalt. What is Smalt? It's the first smart salt dispenser. You want to sprinkle a salt on your food? Why reach for a traditional salt shaker and complete the task in like 1.5 seconds? When you could reach for your phone, open an app, punch in how much salt you want, wait for it to dispense, remove the serving tray from Smalt's base, and dump it onto your meal in about 45 seconds. But they do say that it's making a great gag gift amongst drug dealers who like to put cocaine in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Shelley, you ready with the bell over there?
I'm ready.
65-year-old man is the most recent defendant to choose as a trial strategy to show the jury his penis. A Broward County, Florida court was trying him in the choking death of his girlfriend. Oh, we did this before, didn't we?
Good job, bud.
Bam. So good, we'll do it again. The 65-year-old man called the choking death of his girlfriend accidental after it occurred during oral sex, and there was conflicting medical opinion on whether that could have proved fatal. His lawyer said his standby position was to show a mold of the penis, but insisted that a live demonstration would be more effective. The judge disallowed the showing, but the jury found the 65-year-old not guilty. Anyway, yeah, I don't think we had that update. That's why it was back in the weird news, the update, that it was disallowed, but the man was found not guilty. Anyway, yeah, that was disturbing. I recall being somewhat disturbed. Ooh, for that. Do you realize that back in the 1960s, there was an art movement known as the plaster casters?
I do know about that. Yeah, about the groupies.
I think Jimi Hendrix, among others, donated their schlongs to be plaster cast.
What were you talking about earlier about how, what was the word about when weird things happen, like
synchronicity
or something like that? You just said, right when you said art movement, I pulled up a story on Salvador Dali.
Wow.
How weird is that?
Was Salvador Dali ever plaster casted? Or
I don't know, but okay. But here's what we got. Forensic experts in Spain have removed hair, nails, and two long bones from Salvador Dali's embalmed remains to aid a court-ordered paternity test that may enable a woman who says she is the surrealist artist's daughter to claim part of his vast estate. Officials said that his mummified remains were so well-preserved that even his famous mustache had survived the passing of time and remain in its classic shape of 10 past 10, referring to hands on a clock. Isn't that crazy?
Fascinating stuff.
When you said art movement, I pull up a thing about Salvador Dali's mummified mustache.
That's quite
a good
nice
band name, actually.
Salvador Dali's mummified mustache. And that's it?
Or a concept album.
Is that it?
That's it.
3 hours?
It only seems like 4 or 5.
It only feels like 4.5. Yeah, well, that's it for The Dark 30 and Speaking of Strange in general. Shelley, we didn't let you talk much tonight.
It's okay. I'll make up for it next time.
Stoke in your mouth and push air through your larynx.
Thanks to all our friends out there, Josh Warren, Mobius, Brian Hall, Josh Dendy, all the good folks, listeners and friends and colleagues, and let's keep it strange. Do it again next week. Good night.